Father in heaven, thanks again for this privilege of being in your house. Thanks for each and everyone who is here today as well as online. It's a privilege to get together and worship you. And Lord, we just, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So just a little background. This week has been an interesting week with a lot of health concerns as well in our body of various sorts. But Greg and I were at the hospital a few times this week, and something just sort of lodged in my head, and I decided to go with it today. You know that old saying, I'm spiritual, but not religious. That's a common saying, and it's kind of a throwaway thing, and I want to address that a little bit head-on today in this. So there's various scriptures throughout the message. But what I want to suggest is, as a Christian, I'm religious but not spiritual. Spiritual can mean anything, can't it? You can drive a Mack truck sideways through that. But it is a good way of engaging people, especially non-Christians, when they say, I'm spiritual. It's like, oh, what do you mean by that? And it's a great conversation starter. But this is what my southern great aunts used to say to my grandmother about me when I was young. He's a very religious young man. My grandmother used to say, yeah, but he needs to learn to speak up if he's going to be a preacher. That's what the southern ladies would say amongst themselves. My grandmother was always a Kentucky Southern Baptist at heart. She was saved during a tent revival meeting, hard plank benches, sawdust on the ground sometime after World War I. And she moved north during the Great Migration, that's what historians call it, between the wars, and she brought her faith and her particular Christian worldview with her, like thousands of others from the South at that time. Now here was the thing back then. Back then, to be called religious was not a bad thing. It actually was considered a good thing. What it meant was that you loved and followed Jesus, at least at that time and place. Your expressed desire was to live according to his words and commands, right? Because what does the Apostle John say? 1 John 2:6. This is how we know we are in Jesus. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Or the old King James says, whoever claims to be in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. That's pretty picturesque, right? Here's the thing, though. Back in the 1970s, there were some shifts, and we talked about this in Adult Ed today. The rise of Jungian psychology, the Beatles hanging out and smoking dope in Hindu ashrams in India. That was, some of you remember those pictures, right? A growing suspicion against organized and institutional religion, and this is where this phrase started coming into popular parlance. Well, I'm spiritual, but not religious, right? Today, what does that even mean, right? Spiritual, but not religious. Actually, sociologists and think tanks now actually term it SBNR. It's actually official designation, SBNR, spiritual but not religious, right? It seems to assume a belief in some sort of transcendent or divine without any adherence to any dogma, fancy word for official teaching of that religious faith. It favors personal experience over any particular belief. It distrusts religious institutions, and it has a tendency to blend ideas from multiple and contradictory sources. This has gotten into Christians as well. You know, there's a lot of Christians in this valley who name Jesus, but have nothing to do with a local church. They won't. Sometimes they've been hurt by churches. Others just don't trust churches or don't want to be a part of that scene, whatever that scene is. Now, 19th century, being a little eggheady here a little bit, but 19th century American transcendentalist, you may know him, Ralph Waldo Emerson, urged individuals to build your own world. Sounds rather current, isn't it? Build your own world free from religious structures. Here's the thing, over the last 25 years, the Pew Research Group has been tracking this idea, and they have formally found that this, about 20% of all Americans today claim to be SBNRs, whatever that means. I'm spiritual, but I'm just not religious. interesting. We see this in practical terms all the time. Kind of like the time. Pray for Billy. He's under the weather today. He's usually tracking. He's one of our most enthusiastic Mosaic members. The lawyer, there was a lawyer dying in the hospital. His family came to visit him, and they were all shocked to find him sitting upright in bed and reading the Bible. And the daughter said, "So, Dad, are you getting some spiritual comfort from the scriptures?" To which the dying lawyer tersely replied, "No, I'm looking for loopholes." Spiritual, but not religious. Well, this got me thinking about how many times over the years I've heard Christians, including myself, using this term as a way of bracketing our faith, almost to apologize to people who don't necessarily share a Christian faith. Well, you know, I try and be like Jesus, so I'm spiritual but not religious. As if Jesus weren't religious, he was Jewish, he went to the temple. He paid his temple tax. That's pretty religious stuff, right? Now, it sounds all very good and well, but I realized this week I can no longer say that in good conscience. I can't say I'm spiritual but not religious. Though I have been, like Oswald Chambers, I have been accused of being the most irreligious reverend out there. Okay, fine, whatever that means, as the blue hairs are flogging me for something. This is happens. But I don't have a problem with the word spiritual, but it's like, what do we mean by that? I want to be like Jesus. Okay, I'm spiritual but not religious. You know, terminology is fascinating, right? We as Americans, I mean, how many of you remember growing up and it was always Mr. and Mrs., and when you went to the dentist or doctor's office, it was doctor. Have you noticed? I was in the hospital several times this week, and these highly trained surgeons are now introducing themselves by their first name. I was like, that's interesting. Hi, I'm Ben. I was like, hey, Ben, what do you do? I cut people open for a living and save their lives. Wow, you look like you're 28. Have you noticed the doctors are looking younger? Is it just me? It's like, are you legal? Can you, do you have a license for this? Yeah, they got us. It's just like, wow. But titles are interesting. I was sharing in Adult Ed this morning, and I don't think my mom would mind sharing this. She grew up in a rather German kind of church, and they were all scared of the pastors. Because they never smiled, they were German, so they never smiled or had a sense of humor. And she said, My mom actually, the reverend scared the crap out of me growing up. He never smiled and he talked a lot about hell and stuff like that. I have noticed in 12 years of living here, I have never heard a clergy person being termed a reverend. I never hear that term anymore. And it's interesting, I think. It's kind of, what you'll hear is, I'm a pastor, and that's fine. Right? I'm a shepherd of sheep, right? A gentle, loving shepherd, a kind and rather androgynous human being like David Bowie in the 70s or something. Is he a dude or not a dude? Or, you know, I want to be all things to all people. A person who smiles a lot and affirms and never upsets or gives offense. The problem is with that is you never speak prophetically. It's like my mom said, my mom used to say to her preachers, said, you know, I need you to kick me in the butt once in a while. That's your job. And they obliged, you know? But just think about our society and where it's kind of headed. I think it's fascinating. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying it's worth thinking about. Don't get me wrong. I love being a loving and hopefully gentle pastor. Some of you are like, no, you're not. You know? But you never hear certain terms anymore, formal terms. It's interesting. I wonder, is it because Montanans also distrust organizations and institutions? I found that out to be really so. Whether they be religious, whether they be political, I was fascinated to see how many Montanans are true American patriots, but they absolutely hate the government. It doesn't matter what the government is. I'm like, let me wrap my head around this. Is it because Montanans, we distrust both Rome and Jerusalem? Or maybe another way of putting it is, distrust Washington, D.C. and organizations like the Roman Catholic Church? Is that part of our head? I think so. Could this simply be another form of SBNR, which is so prevalent in our society, so commonly accepted? Hey, I just want you to know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. You know? Can I ask some questions? I'm spiritual but not religious, so wish upon a star, follow your own truth. Man, I could gag on that saying, you know, that somehow that's spiritual. Now look, I don't believe there's any value in giving unnecessary offense. You know this, I mean, just, you're gonna offend people. And in this job, I don't even have to try. I don't try anymore because it just happens on a semi-regular basis, right? I'm not saying the word spiritual is bad and don't use it, but I think it's really helpful for us as followers of Jesus to re-embrace sort of this word religious. And why do I say that? Well, let me get to that in a second. You know, I think it's more helpful. I think spiritual is amorphous, it's hazy, that can mean anything you want, kind of like the time. When a spiritual leader lay dying on his bed and his disciples gathered around him, kind of like a Hindu sort of figure, and they began to chant some religious verses to comfort him, and they brought him a cup of milk to try and comfort him, and he refused it. And then one of the people, the disciples, came in and went to the kitchen, poured a little brandy in it, brought it back, and he took that, and they said, "Oh, great guru, would you give us one more spiritual lesson of wisdom before you pass to the next plane?" And he got up and he kind of cocked himself up and he said, "Don't ever sell that cow." Yeah, wisdom. Spiritual, is it? Okay, whatever. I don't know. This week, I decided to track down the origin of this unpopular word religious, related to the word religion, right? And here's what I discovered. It's a Latin word. Religio just means to bind to or tie to something, right? You know, if you see someone riding a horse around, if they're stopping, they always tie that horse down somewhere, right? They don't just let it wander where it pleases. Very bad idea, right? So as Christians, what we say is we are tied to, we bind our lives to Jesus Christ, right? Because that's the only rock, that's the sure foundation. You know this. I mean, when you build, Jesus said in Matthew 7, build on the rock. What is the rock? That is Jesus Christ. It is not this spiritually sort of amorphous thing that I think many people, you know, kind of talk about. You know, we've talked about this idea before as well. Maybe another way of putting it is, you know, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? This is a very, very big difference. It's not simply semantics, I don't think, right? Because I think many people who would say they're spiritual, some would, but I mean, many people wouldn't necessarily have a problem with the idea of Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus is cool. What's that song, Gary Beck? Was that 70s? Jesus is just all right by me?
70s.
Doobie Brothers, yeah, I mean, the Doobie Brothers, I mean, they're spiritual, they're smoking doobies and like, yeah, Jesus is all right by me, you know, hey, why not? But, okay, but what does that mean, you know? I think a lot of people would say, yeah, Jesus is cool, so is the Dalai Lama, so is Moses, so is the Buddha, Confucius, Lao Tzu. Some might even say Muhammad's cool outside the jihad and all the bombs and that kind of thing. But people just sort of open it up to whatever, you know. And you know, I could say, you know, I find many of these religious leaders interesting, somewhat convincing in different sort of ways. But here's the deal. My religion only allows me to follow one, right? Follow one. Being religious only allows me to bind myself or tie myself, my life and my all, to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's kind of the point today. If I was an SBNR, if I was spiritual but not religious, I could mix and match any number of these historical figures based on my current needs and interests. Doesn't this sound American? We love our choice. Don't get me wrong, I do too. But you know, spiritually minded people, you know, that's what they did in Paul's day, right? Greek and Roman people would mix and match their gods depending on their interests or needs at that time, and then they might walk away and choose this one or that one. Not so different, is it, in some ways, right? The Apostle Paul and the early people who shared Jesus in the Roman world, it was never their desire to simply inject Jesus as an alternative to everything else that's going on. Oh yeah, I'll add Jesus to my personal mix, my, you know, whatever that means, my personal pantheon or something like that. No, what they said was this. Consider some of the earliest figures in New Testament times. Here's James, the half-brother of Jesus, who said, James 2:19, oh, you believe there's one God. Great. Even the demons believe and shudder. An intellectual idea, yeah, there's a God. This is not saving faith, is it? Yeah, there's probably a God or something. The demons know there's a God, and they freak out over it. Peter's testimony to the Jewish Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court of the day, recorded by good Dr. Luke, Acts 4:12. It doesn't get any more clear. Salvation is found in no other name but Jesus. Amen. There we go. Thank you. There is no other name given to mankind, given to humanity, by which we must be saved. You see why it's important to be religious? You bind yourself to one and one only, and that is Jesus Christ, right? But, you know, gosh, you know, we like our personal preferences. We like our choices. We live in a highly materialistic society. There is a reason why we like buffets. You know the Chinese one up there? I would be careful. I said, oh, let me get a little of this, a little of that, and it was pretty good. And I walk out feeling sicker than a dog. It's like, you can't mix and match everything all the time. Besides, it's the Chinese, that's Chinese fast food. That's not real Chinese food. They know it. You might not know it. There's, you know, plenty of grease there for everybody. I didn't say don't go to the Chinese buffet. I like it, but, you know, go in there with a little more purpose, maybe. We love the dollar menu at McDonald's, don't we? We like the value menu at Taco Bell if we feel like making a run to the border. We know it's not real Mexican food, but, you know, sometimes you want to run to the border. You're like, some people are like, I don't want to go near that border. Well, you kind of can now, but that's a whole other thing. But anyway, being spiritual does not require anything particular from you and I, but to be religious is something entirely different, isn't it? Again, to be religious is to require us to bind or tie ourselves to Jesus Christ and to no other. It forces us to submit to his lordship in our lives and to renounce our own little egotistical desires, which is so common for us to put the self first. Well, we've been doing it forever. It's human nature. Kind of like the time in the 1970s, since we're talking about the 70s, a teenager walked into the local pharmacy and asked the farmer for this would never happen in Europe, but in America, we like stuff in our pharmacies. He asked for a 1-pound box, a 3-pound box, and a 5-pound box of chocolates, and he asked that they be wrapped separately. The pharmacist's assistant complied, and as well as the pharmacist, asked the young wife, they're like, well, why do you want each one wrapped separately? Yeah, we can do that. Teenager replied this, well, I've got a real hot date tonight. Yeah, I'm gonna give her that 1-pound box of chocolate no matter what. But if she lets me hold her hand, she gets the 3-pound box. And if she lets me kiss her before the night's over, she gets the 5-pound box. Later that night, the young man was so excited, he arrived at the young lady's home way too early, and she asked him, would you like to have dinner with her family? He said, oh, yes, absolutely, thank you. But before they began eating, he was asked to say grace. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and the family wondered if he was ever going to finish, and finally he said, amen. Surprised, the young lady said, wow, I didn't know you were so spiritual. To which the young man replied, wow, I didn't know your dad was the local pharmacist. Oops, my bad.
Yeah.
Good job, Romeo. Sometimes we think there's no justice in this world, but Praise God, there is. Well, consider what other great religious figures of the New Testament say about Jesus as Lord of all. Again, the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:21. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How about that for a perspective in your life? As Greg is sharing, you know, what's your calling? What is God calling? Is it here? Greg went to Alaska. I mean, it doesn't have to be one specific thing, but what is the mission God has for your life? Can you say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? John the Baptist, he gives us the daily prescription, right? John 3:30. It's simply this: he, Jesus, must become greater in my life and I have to become less. You don't get happy by pursuing it. You don't get happy by, you know, just doing whatever you please. That's a good way to make yourself miserable, because you were never meant to just serve yourself. Have you noticed this? There's a reason why the first two words of any two-year-old are what? No and mine. Do not tell me human nature is not endemic. Oh, the children are so innocent. You never had a two-year-old, dude, right? I don't think so. I don't think so. SBNR, spiritual but not religious, at best is being a fan of Jesus, which is no saving faith. Being spiritual sounds good, but it's a cop-out. That way you never have to live your life for the Lord. How about Medea? I just love that. You know, I'm living for the Lord. I am living for the Lord. Atlanta accent. Really? Are you, Judge Mabel Lance? I don't believe you. The fruits of your life don't demonstrate that at all. You know, being a fan for Jesus won't cost you anything. You retain all your personal choice, and you certainly never have to worry about being persecuted for your faith. You start living your life for the Lord. I'm living for the Lord. I'm living for the Lord. You know, people will notice, and they won't always like that. You think they're gonna commend you on that? Oftentimes not. That's okay. But, we love our personal choice. You know what the Greek word, yeah, I'm a word nerd. You know what the Greek word for choice is? Heresy. Heresy means choice. I just choose what I want. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. That can be heresy also. Maybe another way of putting it, I'll just let him end with this. I love St. Patrick. You know his famous prayer, the Lorica? I'll let him have the last word. Here's what he prayed, and this is why this prayer has been just so important, not only to the Irish, but other Christians as well, for centuries. He starts off with this, and notice his focus. He says, "I bind unto myself this day. I tie myself to this today for God's strength to pilot me, to direct me. God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me." You can't see where you're going? Dear Lord, be my eyes. How about that? "God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to secure me, God's protection of me today." And let's get more, what is he binding himself? "That Christ be with me. That Christ be before me, that Christ be behind me, Christ in me, beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie down, Christ where I sit." That's a pretty all-inclusive binding, isn't it? But wait, there's more, says St. Patrick. "Christ where I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the eye of everyone who sees me, Christ in the ear of all who hear me." Wow. Here's the point. As Christians, we are to bind ourselves to Jesus Christ. We're not spiritual fans of Jesus Christ. We are his fully devoted followers. That's why we are religious and not spiritual. Now, I don't have a problem with the word spiritual. It can be a great discussion entry point for people who may not yet know Jesus. But I'm saying the word religious is really important. And if you're following Jesus, guess what? You're religious. How about that? So, I understand all of this requires a lot of consecration, a lot of godly humility, and that's why I will close with this humbling and rather religious thought. So, it's got me in trouble in another church, actually a couple. So, if you can start the day without caffeine, If you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, and say don't ask for prayer, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, and if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you, my friend, are probably the family dog. I wonder who the religious one in the family is. I'm religious, I'm not spiritual, amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we get to bind ourselves, tie ourselves to the rock, Jesus Christ. Lord, this is a crazy world and people are telling us all kinds of things and all kinds of messages, but apart from you, Jesus, we're in trouble. So we just thank you that that we're not just called to be spiritual, we're called to be religious. We're called to tie ourselves to you each and every day. And we just thank you for that truth. We thank you for this and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.